Is there hope for a church that embraces false teachings? Is there hope for a Christian that has embraced false teachings? The church in Pergamum is facing a lot of challenges. Pergamum was one of the first cities to build a temple for the emperor, and it has many shrines for other gods. The Greek worship their god Zeus, and the Romans worship the emperor, and Christians find themselves isolated, facing the pressure to conform and to compromise. And Jesus writes to them. In fact, he introduces himself. He says, "These are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword." That's how he introduces himself. The double-edged sword was a symbol for the Roman justice. And so Jesus comes here, he's telling them, "I know what you are facing, but I want you to know that I am the one who has the sharp, double-edged sword." He knows what he's saying to them because he understands the pressure they are facing from the Romans. And he wants them to know who he is. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, when Paul talks about putting on the armor of Christ so that we can be able to fight the evil one, he calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians 6, 17, the sword of the Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is called the double-edged sword. In Revelation 19, verse 15, talking about Jesus coming to judge, it says, "Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty." Jesus wants the church in Pergamum to know that he is the true judge. Yes, there is the Roman justice system that is oppressing you, that wants you to conform and to compromise to your ways, but I am the true judge. I hold the sharp, double-edged sword. It's a sword that cuts both ways. And that's how the word of God is, really. It cuts both ways. Even as I stand here to speak God's word, to share with you the message that God has put in my life, as I share with you, I'm also sharing to myself. I'm also speaking to myself. When I sit down to prepare, that word speaks to me. It cuts through me first before it gets to you. And that's why, as believers, the sins that we don't talk about are the sins that we do. Because we try to avoid allowing God's word to confront us. But if we are sincere, if we really believe that God means well and that his word is for us, then we must allow it to speak to us. We must allow it to confront our minds, our attitudes, our behaviors, even before we share it with someone else. Because it is a double-edged sword. And Jesus is the true judge. So this is what he says to the church in Pergamum. He says, "I know where you live. I know your address. Where Satan has his throne. In the city that they live in, Jesus says, that's where Satan has his throne. And I know it. I am aware of the challenges that you face. I know how difficult it is for you to remain faithful where Satan has his throne. That's what he's saying to the believers in Pergamum. Yet you remain true to my name. I understand the challenges, but you have remained true to my name. I mean, you read this and you think of the culture that we are living in, and it doesn't sound any different. You look around, you consider what you hear in the news and what you see happening around, and it's so clear, it's as if Satan has his throne in this culture. And yet Jesus looks at believers and he says, I understand that. I know it's not easy for you to remain faithful. I know that. But yet, you have remained faithful. I know it wasn't easy for some of you to come to church this morning. The weather is not that attractive. Some of us probably were tempted to sleep in. For some of you who have those warm blankets, just the thought of being in there and the warmth that comes with it is something that can be very tempting. But yet you chose to be here this morning. And the Lord looks at you and all the other challenges that you go through, whether it's illness, whether it's financial constraints, any other challenge that you go through, the Lord looks at you and he says, I understand what you're going through. I know that. And I take pride that you remain true to my name. It's so important for us to know that the Lord is aware of our challenges and he understands our faithfulness in him. He knows how hard it is to be faithful in Satan's hometown. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Satan does not only have a throne in this city, he has his home. And Jesus says, you've been tested. You've been faithful. Even when my witness was killed, you still held on to this faith. I know that. These are people who are not afraid to identify with Jesus Christ in a culture that is against Jesus Christ. They're just not posting on Facebook and other social media. They just don't have a bumper sticker that says Jesus loves you. They identify with him in front of everyone. They are not afraid to identify with the name of Jesus. They follow him. They walk with him. Everyone who knows them as followers of Jesus Christ. Even when they saw one of them being killed, they still stood with Jesus Christ. And this is a challenge for us because many of us are not there yet. We haven't gotten to a place where one of us is dying for the faith. We haven't even faced that pressure to conform and compromise, even though it's happening around us. We haven't been put to a place where we have to choose between worshiping God and worshiping Satan. And yet, some of us find it difficult to identify with Jesus Christ. It's a temptation that we face. I remember when I was young and would go to a party, I wouldn't want anyone to know that I was a Christian. Because I wanted to have the attention and I wanted to talk to the girls. I wanted to do what other young men were doing. And therefore the idea of people realizing that I was a Christian was not welcome. Because immediately people know that you are a Christian, they will expect something else from you. Amen. The temptation not to identify with Christ in a culture that is against Christ is so high. But the church in Pergamum is being commended for their faithfulness in identifying with the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Jesus changes his tune here. After praising them, he says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you." In other words, you still have issues that you need to take care of. In other words, you should not think that you have arrived. I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold on to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Balaam was a false prophet. Balak was the king of Moab, who went to Balaam wanting Balaam to curse the children of Israel when he failed, because God changed. Every time he tried to curse them in the book of Numbers, God blessed them. So he ended up enticing them to eat food sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immoralities. He enticed them to compromise their faith. He attacked their faith, their relationship with the Lord. And he succeeded in doing that. And the Bible here is saying that there are some within the congregation who are holding on to false teachings, who also believe, it continues, "Likewise, you also have those who hold on to the teaching of the Nicolaitans." So basically what the Bible says here is that they hold on to false teachings. They have given in to the pressure of the society to compromise, and they are among the congregation. So Jesus is pointing them out. He knows how faithful the congregation is, but he knows that there are some among them that are holding on to false teachings. He can see that. This is a problem within the congregation. Those that are holding on to false teachings are also trying to entice others, because that's the nature of false teachings. You just can't keep it to yourself. You want others to go with you. And so within the church, they are trying their best to bring others to their fold. They are working against the gospel. And the problem is, the church knows them, and it is allowing it to go on. That's the biggest problem. Now, we should be sensitive to people who believe differently. But we should also be truthful to people who believe things that are not taught by the scriptures. But we should be kind when approaching them, because the goal is to restore them. Every time you confront a false teaching, your desire has to be to bring this person to God's truth, not to drive them away. That has to be our desire. The church in Pergamum, instead of focusing on bringing those among them who are holding on to false teaching to the truth, they are ignoring them. And Jesus is looking at that and is saying, I have these few things against you. It is a responsibility that each one of us has to help anyone among us that is holding on to false teachings. It should be our desire. And especially in a church like ours, where we have people from different backgrounds, it is very possible that people will come with different teachings. And that's why we encourage people, read our statement of faith, read our doctrinal position. If you agree with it, you're welcome. If you don't agree with it, you're still welcome. But read that. And then if and when you realize that you have something else that you believe differently, we have no problem with that, but keep it to yourself. Because if you share it with someone else here, you are sending a message that we don't want to send. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying this because there is one person that was told something, and when she shared it with me, I was shocked, because she thought that that is the position of Southside Bible Fellowship, and I told her that is not our position. But it was too late by the time I was telling her that. So if you understand what we believe in, what we hold on to, and you have your own faith or you believe something that is different, that's fine. We live in America. It's a free country. You can believe what you want, but please keep it to yourself. We have a message that we want to communicate to people here, and we don't want people to be confused. I'm saying that because it's important for us to know that we are gathered here for a reason, for a purpose. The church in Pergamum, despite knowing that there were people among them who were not spreading the truth, ignored them. I want to encourage each one of you to be vigilant with God's word, and to be gracious. If you hear something that you know it's not from the scripture, confront it. Do it faithfully. Do it kindly. Do it graciously, because you want to restore the person. That is a call that we all have. Because here, Jesus holds the church responsible for allowing false teaching. It says in verse 16, repent therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You see, the repentance here is to the church. It's not the people who are doing it, but the church. The church is asked to repent because the church is allowing it to happen. He is holding the congregation responsible for the false teachings, for allowing it to happen. Is there hope for a church that embraces false teaching? The answer is yes. There is hope. And the hope of any church, the hope of any congregation, the hope of any Christian swings on the hinges of repentance. That's where you should have said amen. Because that's where the hope is. The hope of every Christian that has embraced false teachings, the hope for every church that has allowed false teachings, the hope for every congregation swings on the hinges of repentance. We have to come back to ourselves, listen to what God is calling us to do, and change our mind. Turn from false teachings. Turn away from allowing it among us. Turn away from anything that leads us away from Jesus Christ. And turn to Jesus and accept the forgiveness that he provides. Our growth will happen when we realize there are things in our lives that we need to turn away from. And many of us need to think about that. What are some of the few things you know that are against the Lord? Some of the few things that you allow in your life that you know the Lord is against them. Without compromising God's word, without trying to make God's word sound the way you want it to. Are there things in your life that you know are against God? If there are, there is still hope for you. There is still hope when you repent. Turn to the Lord so that you can continue to be the light that shines in the dark, so that the Lord can continue to use you as his servant in this world, so that you can be the salt that you are called to be, so that you can show the Lord's praises in this world, because he has called you from darkness to his marvelous light. There is hope for every church, and that hope swings on the hinges of repentance. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 is a good passage to consider. It says, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you." They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Every time a Christian lives a different lifestyle, it is visible to the world. And the people that know you, the people that know where you come from, the people that knew you before you came to Christ will always be surprised when they see you living for Christ. Because whenever Christ comes to someone's life, everything changes. Your thinking changes, your attitude changes, your behavior changes, your appetite changes. And your friends and neighbors will look at you and they will see a difference. And some of them will try to entice you, to bring you back. And when you continue holding on to Jesus, they will turn against you. They will say things about you because they want to bring you down. You should keep on holding to Jesus Christ forcefully. Because the enemy will want to destroy you. He will want to use every opportunity he can get through your friends and through people that are around you to bring you down. You must choose to hold on to Jesus Christ. You must choose to keep on turning to Jesus Christ. You must choose to keep on believing what God's word says. You must realize that Jesus is the true judge. And he knows how difficult it is for you to remain faithful. He knows that. I have seen God transform lives. I have seen God bring a smile to someone who was living a sad life. I have seen God unite people and families. I have seen God transform lives. And every time I get an opportunity like this to speak God's word, I do so knowing that God's word is so powerful. It is a double-edged sword that penetrates, that it cuts through our thoughts and everything in our lives, and it exposes things because God continues to transform us through his word. And therefore, my brother and my sister, there is hope for all of us. We fail at times, but there is hope. And our hope swings on the hinges of our repentance. Let me finish this. It says in verse 17, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says, not just to the church in Pergamum, but to the churches. This letter here is for us. And failure to repent, the Lord says, there will be judgment. He will come against those who fail to do so. Here is an encouraging message for us. To the one who is victorious, the one who remains faithful, the one who hears what the Spirit says to the churches, I will give some of the hidden manna. Now we know about manna. This was food from heaven that the Lord provided for his people. You remain faithful, the Lord says, you'll have a taste of it. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the person who receives it. The hidden manna in the white stone speaks concerning the special relationship and intimacy, the fellowship that we will have with the Lord. If I can use this as an example, most of you that are married have special names for each other. What's your special name for Jeremy? That's not special, Dada. Think of something better. Okay. What's the special name you have for Jaden? Baby? Okay. See, you become a baby somehow. Let me ask Candace. You have any special name for Dean? Honey? Yeah, that's special. Honey. When people are in a love relationship, as they grow in that relationship, and as their fellowship strengthens, they develop special names. My wife, I call her Sweetie. She calls me Sweetie too. I can't remember the last time I called her name. What? Oh, yeah, but I wasn't calling her. I mentioned her name. If I called her name, she will look at me weird, like, why are you calling my name? Because it's just something that I do. Somehow our relationship has been redefined by the names that we have given each other. Now, if you find me calling you Sweetie, you should just know that day, call 911 because I will be going through something and I will be in need of help. Because that title, that name is not for you. It is for only one person in my life, and that's Lois. She knows it, she understands it, she appreciates it, and she loves it. And the Lord says here that the person that remains faithful, the person that overcomes, that believer, and if I can say that true believer, because believers are the ones who will overcome, they will remain faithful to the end. The Lord says, I will give you a test of some of the manna. There is something special that you are going to receive in this relationship, in this fellowship, and I will give you a white stone with a new name in it, which only you will know it. That means our fellowship will be stronger than it is now. There is something for us to look forward to, even as we go through the challenges that we are going through now. The Lord knows it, and He has prepared for us not just a new place, but also a new name. And that, my friend, is an encouragement for each one of us. That is an encouragement for us to remain faithful and to continue fighting the good fight. Not for our glory, but for His glory. Why? Because He is the true judge. And if this Jesus Christ is not yet your Savior, you are missing out. You are missing out. You may think that you are enjoying life, but life is enjoying you. And your time is short. I would encourage you to consider having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to consider turning to Christ. Ask Him to forgive you and to serve you. And if you are a